in my heart.
The Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
I'm wearing pants. Yeah.
And Sherry.
You look at all the things you managed to do for yourself.
And now, broadcasting from the palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Woo! Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to kick today's show off with a little bit of a calamity. Bob called me just a couple of minutes ago and said, I don't know what's going on. We just lost power. Like, they literally lost power about 3 minutes before the show was scheduled to start. So I was like, well, all right, let me know when you get your power back on and we'll just proceed without you. I have to tell you guys something. This is by far not the sexiest thing that I've ever said. But so I'm watching something with Kevin, my patient, who, you know, now is my complete captive 24/7 because he can't get away from me. So we're watching something and a commercial comes on with Shaquille O'Neal. And it wasn't for Shaq-a-roni, his pizza. It was for Icy Hot. So I think Icy Hot has been around my entire life, although it might have been called something else, right? It's been around forever. Yep. And I have never, ever thought of needing a product like that. Like, it's Shaquille O'Neal. He's so hardcore. But here's Shaq on the screen. And Shaq's like, you know, he's a big guy and he's gotten injured a bunch in his career and he's a hardcore athlete. And Shaq's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. I turned to Icy Hot. Well, I don't know if it's from hours of sitting at a computer or at my microphone or the stress of being a full-time 24/7 unqualified home health worker. But I have had excruciating, neck and shoulder pain. And I know it's from sitting for hours. And I know it's from sitting at my laptop, but I'm also doing a bunch of things that I've never really done before, like lifting things and carrying things and all that. And yes, I have a chiropractor, Dr. Tim, who I love, but I can't carve the time out of the day to go. Like, I mean, Kev can't drive. There's like so many things he can't do yet for himself. I just feel like I can't go. So I've been chomping on, like, I've tried everything. Aleve, Tylenol, ibuprofen. Nothing works. I've tried ice. I've tried heat. And I'm looking at this commercial for Shaq. And I was like, yeah, there you go. So I stood up and said, I'll be back in about 20 minutes. I drove to the Walgreens and I bought a box of those Icy Hot patches that Shaq was talking about. And I came home and I said to the sheriff, slap one of these. Let me show you where. Can I tell you? I'm gonna go try the Shaq-a-roni next. The man speaks the truth.
Sherry, are you going to be getting car insurance from the general as well?
I'm getting the general. I'm all in. I am all in. Whatever Shaq says, go ahead and take it to the bank. Shaq does not lie. So, and Kev was like, well, I think maybe those Icy Hot patches work because you feel all that tingly menthol and it distracts you from your other pain. Yeah, okay, I consider that effective. How about you? If you're distracting me, then I'm saying that it works. So I said to Kevin, I said, listen up, mister. When the weekend rolls around, we are going to experience a Shaq-a-roni. And he's like, oh, man, that's Papa John's. Hush your mouth. Hush your disrespectful mouth. If that Shaq-a-roni is half as powerful as this Icy Hot, I'm here to tell you. My next step is to call the general for my car insurance. Thank you very much.
Trying to explain why that works would be like saying, yeah, well, when they give you that morphine at the hospital, all it does is make you not feel the pain and not care about it. Okay, yeah. I mean, that's what they promised to do, and they deliver.
Exactly. Goal achieved. You betcha. Oh, and I was so pleased because it's so funny how, like, you can see the same message 1,000 times. Have you had that happen to you? The same, you'll see or hear the same thing 1,000 times. And then one day it just hits different. And you're like, I'm going to try that.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm. So wherever you are, Shaq.
See, Sherry, that's what advertising is. It helps you solve a problem. And your problem was pain, and it solved it.
It did. It did. And you know how hard it is to shut up about your mild neck discomfort when your husband, I don't even know how many broken bones he has.
Yeah.
And he can't get himself in and out of the shower without pain. You think I'm going to go to him and go, oh my God, my neck is like really tight.
He takes the fun out of hurting.
Oh, he's really raining on my parade.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shaquille O'Neal. I will be reporting back about Shaqaroni next week. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
All right, so if you're just joining us, Bob's power went out 3 minutes before the show began. We don't know what's going on there. He called me and said, I hear sirens, and then he hung up. So I'm not sure if a tree went down or what. But we just wrapped up our Burn That Bill contest, and we're kicking off our new contest for Love Month. You can win a me party. But before we talk about that, we got the sweetest message. It was so cool and exciting to hear.
Hi. My name is Barbara T. I just heard about the Burn a Bill this morning on your show on my way to work. Had to pull over because I started crying. Thank you so much. I don't know how it works, but thank you. And I love your show. Bye.
Oh, Barbara, I'm so glad you were one of our winners. And I want to take y'all behind the scenes a little bit. It has been a written in stone truth of the Bob and Sherry radio experience over the years. It did not matter what we were giving away. We could give away a car, a house, a vacation, a diamond necklace, $1,000, Taylor Swift tickets, you name it. And we would be so excited. We'd be like, all right. Okay, we're going to call our winner right now. Janice, oh my God, girl, you just won tickets to see Taylor Swift's 1989 tour and a backstage meet and greet. And Janice will go, oh, that's good. Okay, thank you. Hey, Dave, congratulations. You're the winner of Bob and Sherry's $1,000 weekend.
Okay.
Am I in any way wrong?
You're not wrong, but I think what happens sometimes is people are shocked in the moment. And then I can tell you from years of doing this with contests, you hear right before they hang up the phone, they shout to somebody else, you'll never guess what, click. And so they give all the excitement to whoever was in the room, but they don't to you because they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened.
I guess, but like I'll be driving down the road listening to the radio and it'll be, all right, caller number 10, we have a koozie from the band Kansas. And the person, caller number 10, is like, oh my God. I'm like, what? Where are these winners for the Bob and Sherry show? So when we heard your message, Barbara, we were like, oh, she's happy to win. Now we're shifting gears because we kicked off a brand new contest Monday of this week. And this is a Valentine's Day contest for everybody. This is you winning a party for yourself. This isn't about, oh, it's for you as a couple, because not everybody's in a relationship. This is a Valentine's Day gift for you. And we had a message about that one, too.
Guys, I just heard the full ad for the Valentine's single package, which totally considering divorce, because that sounds like the best self-care package ever. Oh my God. Anyways, so I need to know who came up with the poem.
Oh, the poem? Is that what you said? So we're running
the poem,
We're running a promo that has a poem on it. And so so here's what happened. We had the contest, and usually what happens is I get the information because I usually write and produce the promos that we have for the poems. But Tony Garcia, somebody who I didn't know had any sort of poetic ability whatsoever, he sends me this email and he said, I am going to write the poem for this. And I said, okay, let's see awesome. What that's going to sound like. So we'll play the promo for it now.
It's Love Month on Bob and Sherry. That's true. But even so, some of us are blue. Bob and Sherry have a way to take the blues away with a celebration just for you. It's a box with socks that are cozy. They're sure to warm up your teeny little toesies. A mask that will calm and moisturize your skin, and the Bob and Sherry swag you've been dying to win. We also include some Scone Goddess scones, which will take the sting out of being alone. We've included delicious Maine Needhams, those cute little candies, with your free Netflix gift card. You'll definitely want them handy. It's a me party from the Scone Goddess, Maine Needhams, and the Bob and Sherry Show. We're picking a winner every day, so come on, don't be slow. You can register now for the Bob and Sherry Me Party package on the contest page at bobandsherry.com.
Oh, that was so good. Hey, Max, did you explain to Tony that we can't pay him extra for the extra work?
No,
yeah,
I
don't get
I
a talent fee. No talent fee.
Here's what I think is going on, Sherry. I think he did the work so he can dock my paycheck.
Yeah, I'm sorry, T. I mean, that was good. And you put in some extra time, but, you know, the budget, am I right?
Seriously.
Enter right now. We're giving away a Me Party package every day for the entire month of February for Love Month. And it's a leap year, so that means one extra winner this year. Enter right now at BOBANDSHERI.com. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, hey, hey. Let's go!
Harvesting idiots from around the globe.
You stupid moron.
It's Morons in the News with Bob and Sherry.
Columbus, Indiana. A Columbus man was arrested after a Bartholomew County Sheriff's deputy observed him aiming a laser at his patrol vehicle. Several reports were received by the sheriff's office over the last week regarding someone aiming a laser at aircraft in this area of the Columbus Municipal Airport. When another report came in, which prompted a sheriff's deputy to be dispatched to the area of the airport, the deputy was unable to find the source of the laser. 20 minutes later, the deputy observed a green laser emitting from a black passenger car. At that time, the laser was pointed at the deputy's patrol car. After a traffic stop, the driver was identified as 49-year-old Christopher Clem of Columbus. During the investigation, two laser devices were found, along with methamphetamine, crushed prescription painkillers. The deputies also recovered a handgun in Clem's vehicle. Clem admitted to the deputy that he aimed the laser at planes flying overhead. Clem was transported to the Bartholomew County Jail, where he is being held on charges of pointing a laser at a public safety officer, possession of methamphetamine, possession of a controlled substance, and dealing in a controlled substance, and all charges are enhanced due to Clem being in possession of a firearm. The U.S. Air Marshals and Federal Aviation continue to investigate. Now, I'm pretty sure Clem was not returning home from his monthly Mensa meeting, and I know when I am armed and carrying drugs in my car, I like to use a laser to get the police's attention. That's really the smart part of this. I mean, what are you thinking?
These people, like, if you have that much enthusiasm for waving a laser pointer around, I have four cats here. Come on by.
Yes.
These people that do that, just the waving your laser at airplanes is dumb enough. But if you're right, if you have a car full of drugs and weapons, buddy, what you thinking? All right, let's go to today's moron of the day. You know how convenience stores are set up. It's about an impulse buy. Unless you're me and Lamar doing a thank you purchase because we used your bathroom. You know, you bought some gas. You go in to get a Dr. Pepper. And you walk out with, you know, a giant hot pickle and a bag of little gummy candies. I mean, we all know how it goes. This is what happened in Pasco, Florida. A guy named Stefan Carew went to a Circle K gas station, and he parked next to a Garda World armored truck. And I guess the temptation and the impulse was so strong that he unlocked the truck driver's door and took a couple of bags of money.
Oh.
One had $54,000 in it. The other had $48,000 in it. And how do we know that it was Stefan Carew who snatched up those money bags and drove off in his van? Well, they have surveillance cameras at the Circle K, and we have facial recognition software, and that's how they were able to trace the robbery back to Stefan. They issued a warrant, and they arrested him. You know how they arrested him? By going to his house, knocking on the door. So whether your impulse buy is hot fries or a couple of bags of money, you have to have a better plan for your life than this. You just can't expect to open up an armored truck, take two giant bags full of money. Like, what are you, Bugs Bunny? And this is a Looney Tunes cartoon?
It can't be that easy. It just cannot be that easy.
And then just drive back to your house to watch some TV. You have to know that they're going to catch you. Yes. And they did catch him. And he is now facing charges of grand theft. And he will do time if they get him. And that is Morons in the News. Have a plan when you go in to the gas station convenience store. Coming up, do you recognize that voice? Because some real big stars are doing the voiceovers on commercials. And you may not even realize it. Plus, comedian Mark Forward. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Now in the ramp up to my favorite time of the year, Girl Scout cookie season, there's some news concerning the price of their treats that even the Girl Scouts are not safe from inflation. Girl Scout cookie prices are on the rise, and it looks like it's going to go from $5 a box for the last few years to $6 a box. Don't whine about it, because they're great and they're worth $6. So just stop whining. The decision to raise the price of the Girl Scout cookies is based on the cost associated with food production, labor, transportation, blah, 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 blah. We understand. I mean, everything else is going up, so why not cookies? So you're going to be shelling out just a little bit more money. But when you purchase Girl Scout cookies, you get more than a sweet treat. All the proceeds stay local to help power those amazing experiences for Girl Scouts in our community. Less exciting, though, for the organization is the potential for a Girl Scout cookie black market, something that actually happened last year. In 2023, after the Girl Scouts released the new Raspberry Rally flavor and it became the first cookie to be exclusively sold online, it was a big hit and it sold out. But a reseller market opened up on eBay, with prices going from $15 a box to $180 for 10 packages. And the Girl Scouts were really upset. And in a statement, the Girl Scouts expressed their disappointment in the unauthorized sales of their products and stressed that it deprives the youth organization of its proceeds. Really? Because unless they steal them cookies, don't the Girl Scouts still get the original money? I mean, somebody bought a ton of Girl Scout cookies and then sold them for a profit. I don't get it. I think the Girl Scouts still got paid, did they not?
I hope
I would think.
But they're not trying it this year. They're not going to do it again this year.
You are a terrible human being if you steal the cookies and the Girl Scouts don't get paid.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
That's the worst.
Yes. That's the worst. Support your Girl Scouts. Go out there and buy some cookies. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
So Max has worked up something very cool here. So explain it, Max, and then let's hit it.
So there's a lot of famous actors who do voiceovers on commercials, but you don't realize who they are. Every once in a while you might, but I was surprised at some of these because I've heard these commercials and I didn't recognize who it was. So let me play some of it and then see if you can guess who it is.
Okay.
Now, this first one is very short, but you've heard these. These are M&M commercials. So this first one is very short.
Santa? Santa?
That's the yellow M&M.
All right, let me hear it again. Let me hear it again.
Yeah.
Santa?
Is that the guy who's the brother on Everybody Loves Raymond?
No, that's a good guess, though. No.
Santa?
That is Academy Award winner J.K. Simmons as the yellow M&M.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wait, that's the Farmer's Insurance guy?
Yeah, Farmer's Insurance.
Let me hear it again.
Santa? Talent has no limit.
Santa?
Which means, you know, if you're an actor, you're an actor. You audition for all kinds of stuff. You know, he just wasn't, right. He didn't think he was too good for it, so he went and auditioned for it. All right. Now, here is the next one.
First is an act of pure alchemy, the creation of something from nothing. First stands on no shoulders, it follows no footsteps. To first, the view ahead is wide open. The only thing that first chases.
Do you know who it is?
Is possibility.
No.
So it's Mercedes-Benz is the client.
First. Yeah.
Makes us who we are.
That is John Hamm.
Oh, no! That's right. First, yeah.
God. Is an act of pure alchemy. The creation of something from nothing.
Okay. All right. Now, this next one is for Nationwide.
In the nation, people are remembering Driver's Ed. They're looking left, then right, then left again. They're not texting or tweeting, no sir. They're braking for squirrels, and then some. And their deductibles are disappearing. Because Nationwide insurance members who add vanishing deductible get $100 off for every year.
You get an idea?
We put members first because we don't have to.
Now?
I'm listening.
Modern Family. Modern Family.
In the nation, people are remembering Driver's Ed. They're looking left, then right, then left again.
That's Julia Roberts.
I think.
No, sir.
Oh, I was with Lamar.
Yeah, Claire on Modern Family.
I thought it was Claire.
Okay, this next commercial is for Walgreens.
Look at you saving money on your Medicare Part D prescriptions. At Walgreens, we call that Carpe Med Diem. That's almost Latin for seize the day.
That's
to get
Tina
more
Faye.
Out of life.
And that is Tina Fey. That is great.
Tina Fey.
Oh, that was good, Lamar. Can I hear it? Kind of over here.
Look at you saving money on your Medicare Part D prescriptions. At Walgreens, we call that carpet.
Yeah, now I hear it. Okay. Now I hear it.
Yeah, yeah. All of these, once you know it, you go, oh, yeah, okay, this next one is for Allstate.
Esurance was born online, which means fewer costs, which saves money. Their customer experience is virtually paperless, which saves paper, which saves money. They have smart online tools, so you only pay for what's right for you, which saves money. They settle claims quickly, which saves time, which saves money. They drive an all-hybrid
car. I got nothing.
He was on it. He was on a sort of a groundbreaking situation comedy that was on.
Let me hear.
Esurance, backed by Allstate. Esurance was born online, which means fewer costs, which saves money. Their customer experience is virtually paperless.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
It's John Krasinski.
So you only pay for what's right for you.
No, that's Jim from The Office.
Jim from The Office.
No way.
Yeah, but it don't sound like Jim. It don't sound. Now that you say it, I can hear it, but it don't sound like it cold. It really don't.
No. And that was done in part. I mean, the cuts are so quick. That was he was only doing a few words at a time.
Yeah. So here's one more before we break.
This is the famous Budweiser beer. We know of no brand produced by any other brewer which costs
George
so
Clooney.
Much to brew in a.
That is George Clooney.
Yeah,
I know my Clooney.
Very good.
Lamar, I was hoping that you would know this, what with your, you know, Budweiser DNA.
That's in the rearview mirror, baby. That's in the rearview mirror.
I hear you, my brother.
Once he's done, he's done.
Yeah. Okay, we have more.
Right, I'm done.
We have some more of these. We have some more of these coming up.
I want to hear them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Hollywood actors just love doing voiceovers because, number one, it's a whole lot easier than acting to a camera. Number two, it pays very, very well, and it's also fun. And Max put together a bunch of them, and we're going to see if we can guess who the actor is doing the commercials. So far, I think out of the last, what do we do, about eight of them, we got two or three, right?
I only guessed one.
This next one's easy.
I got one.
This next one's easy.
It's pretty amazing. Now, one click of a mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a Morgan Freeman.
Oh, God. Morgan Freeman.
Groove. Bust it. Shake it. Get down.
You know, if you saw the Shawshank Redemption, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
All right. This next one is for Duracell.
Why do more emergency workers everywhere trust Duracell? Duralock Power Preserve locks in power for up to 10 years in storage. Now guaranteed. Duracell with Duralock. Trusted everywhere.
I can see him, but I don't know his name.
I feel like it's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah,
can
hear
it again?
I can see him.
Why do more emergency workers everywhere trust Duracell? Duralock Power Preserve locks in power for up to 10 years in storage. Now guaranteed. Duracell with Duralock.
We're all going to be ashamed that we can't get
you
this
are,
one.
You yeah. are, because you know who this is. It's the dude. It's Jeff Bridges.
Oh, that's Jeff Bridges.
Right. Yeah!
Why do more emergency workers everywhere trust Duracell?
Duracell as soon as you say it.
10 years in storage. Now guaranteed.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see. The next one is...
This is Karen and Jeremiah. They don't know it yet, but they're going to fall in love. Get married, have a couple of kids, move to the country, and live a long, happy life together where they almost never fight about money.
Because I don't know, Tobey Maguire?
They'll find some financial folks.
That's Julia Roberts. That's Julia Roberts right there.
That is Matt Damon.
Focus on other things, like each other.
Yeah, it is.
You hear it.
This is Karen and Jeremiah.
Yeah.
They don't know it yet.
Yeah, right.
Okay, this actress has been on a couple really successful TV shows, and I think she was nominated for an Oscar as well.
Now's the time to invest in lumber, in rubber, in bellies.
West Wing, West Wing, West Wing.
That's the show.
Allison Janney?
It is.
West Wing.
Into your 10K.
Is that Allison Janney?
That's Allison Janney.
Wow. She's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Now, this next one, they're going to play a little of the funny part of the jingle in the front of it before we get to the voice.
Is it Italian? Perhaps
is that Gaga?
Nah, the voice is coming.
Delicious lattes from Dunkin' Donuts. You order them in English, not Fritalian. America runs on Dunkin'.
John.
John is the first name.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You know what the rest of it is. Big John lost a lot of weight.
Big John Goodman. Mm. That is correct.
Goodman. All right. There you go.
John Goodman, yeah.
All right. This next one is for Cadillac.
You wait all year for summer. This summer was definitely worth the wait. Summer's best event from Cadillac. Let summer try and pass you by.
I'll give you a hint on this. He was on a TV show that ran for a pretty good long time, and then he appeared as a guest appearance on the sequel just before the finale, like 2 years ago.
You wait all year for summer. This summer was definitely worth the wait.
If he said, Mr. White, you're not like I remember in high school, would you know?
Aaron Paul?
Yeah.
Let summer try.
That's Jesse from Breaking Bad? Wow.
He's an unlikely.
All year for summer.
He's an unlikely choice for Cadillac, don't you think?
This summer was definitely.
He's the last guy I would have picked.
Okay.
You know, that brings up a really good point that he's an unusual choice. You're saying to yourself, did these guys get the job in part because of who they are? Or did they get the job because they are that good at voiceover announcers and acting?
I'm telling you, as somebody who's taken voiceover classes and done voiceover auditions, these people are very good at doing this. They didn't just happen into it. There's an art to this, and all of them are able to do that. I have one more for you.
25,000 mornings, give or take, is all we humans get. We spend them on treadmills, we spend them in traffic, and if we get lucky, really lucky, it dawns on us to go spend them in a world where a simple sunrise can still be magic. 25,000 mornings. Make sure some of them are pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Tim Allen.
That is Tim Allen.
Yes. Oh,
very good.
He does a lot of Chevrolet. He's done a lot of voiceover. He is a very successful. In fact, he may be one of the most successful male voiceover talents in the country today.
Really?
You know who does a lot of voice work and you don't realize it? Is Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs on the Discovery Channel. He not only voiceovers commercials, he's the narrator on a lot of like documentaries on your basic cable. That man stays busy. That's his clean job, I think, is reading voice stuff.
You know who else does a lot of voiceovers? It's our own Max. He does, which you've done Sears, right?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I've done it. Here's the sum total of my voiceover career. Your call is important. Someone will be with you momentarily. Listen closely as our options have changed.
So you are the most hated man in America.
I am.
Is what it comes down to. Yeah, that's right. It's Bob and Sherry. Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time now for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Mark Forward.
Thanks. I'm really good. Thank you. I'm really good at this. So. No, I'm one of the best. So. I went out to dinner tonight, and the waiter came over, as they do. And he was all like, do you want pepper on that? And I was like, well, is it better with pepper on it? And he was like, yeah, it's a lot better with pepper on it. And I was like, well, why didn't you finish it in the kitchen? Like, are there other ingredients back there that you are withholding that will increase the flavor of my meal? Why are we playing this game, Daniel? My wife, Sophie, has made enough choices. That's a World War II joke. Sometimes I think about my grandmother, and I hope she's up in heaven making her world-famous butter tarts. But then she'll call or come over. And... Maybe I'm being nostalgic, but I remember a time when I wasn't, and my brother had a hamster, and I was not allowed to play with it, so I would sneak into his room, and I would play with it when he wasn't there, and squirt it with water, and we would both laugh, and then the next day he got really sick, and they weren't sure he was going to make it. But I didn't mind so much, right, because while he was in the hospital, I could play with his hamster. My dad did not take my brother being in the hospital very well. He turned to the bottle. Yeah. But once my brother was dead, he just stopped drinking. Like, that must have been the problem, right? If your arms were made of angels, and your angels were made of arms. Hi, I'm Sarah McLachlan. Are you tired of owning a cat with four legs? Would you like a dog in your house that you can literally call Scraps? Would you like a pet in your home that's more of a conversation starter? Like, hey, is Sarah coming? No, she had stuff. Okay. Is this a new couch? No, it's the same. Hey, who lit your bunny on fire? May you find some creatures here. Thanks, I'm Mark Ford.
It's a strange delivery.
Full commitment. Full commitment to such strange everything.
He got a standing ovation.
Wow. Because sometimes you're just like, wow, I haven't seen that before, right? Oh, we'll get that posted up at bobandsheri.com. Click the menu tab, look for Everyone Needs a Laugh, and maybe sign up for the free Bob and Sherry newsletter while you're there. We never spam you. It's just all really fun stuff, including contests that we only run in the newsletter and content that only shows up there. That's bobandsheri.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
You know, if I said to you, we're getting ready to have the largest skyscraper in this country, you probably wouldn't think that it's going to be in Oklahoma City, but that's what they're talking about. They had developed this, Oklahoma City had developed this super tall skyscraper, and they decided to change it a little bit and go from 1,750 feet to 1,907 feet. If that's approved, the height will make that structure the tallest building in the United States and the fifth tallest building in the world. The extra 157 feet that is proposed for this would bring it to 1907, which is a homage to the year that Oklahoma was granted statehood. Newly released renderings show that this big spire will go up to the very top to make it that high. It's going to be called the Boardwalk at Bricktown, and it's a mixed-use development. And it's got 345-foot-tall towers and then the super skyscraper. And it will be taller than the One World Trade Center in New York City. There's going to be 100 condominiums, a 350-room hotel. There's going to be a top floor that consists of an observatory, a bar, and a restaurant. At approximately 5 million square feet, the Boardwalk at Bricktown is going to include the hotels, the condominiums, all kinds of retail and commercial space, and it's going to have 1,776 residential units that range from the market rate, affordable workforce, and luxury apartments. Somebody's making a big gamble on this. I hope this works out. I really, really do. This is a gamble.
With the amount of space that's available in big cities because people are working from home and not in the office, they're not going to be able to fill it with a lot of offices. I think it's Oklahoma saying, hey, y'all, why don't you come and visit us once in a while, okay? Why don't you come see us? I know we don't have an ocean, blah, blah, blah. That's what it's a tourist attraction.
I just might go out there. I just might go see it when it gets through.
Just to
see
it.
Hope y'all will too. Yep.
Yes. Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Talk back time. You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERI. If you like, or if you have our app, it's free in Google Play and the Apple Store. And you can use the app to listen to the show every day and all of our podcasts, including The Oddcast and Talking Lamar and True Weird Stuff. And you can tap that little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will do all the work.
Hey, so I'm listening to you guys talk about, Taylor Swift. I love Taylor, by the way. But anyway, I would love for my life to be so perfectly happy and so free of problems that all I had to worry about is how much I hate Taylor Swift and the fact that they show her on the freaking football games. Who cares? And also, do they realize they're hating this girl just for existing, for breathing air? So stupid.
Yeah.
I think that she's awesome. I love Taylor. I'm a diehard Swiftie as well, Sherry. So you guys have a good day.
I'm with you. I wish I had enough extra time in the day to be like, let me see who I hate. I watched the Grammys and I thought it was a phenomenal show. And the Grammys did something really right this year. They were more about the music than they were about anything else. Annie Lennox covering Sinead O'Connor. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was great.
Joni Mitchell, if you mm-hmm. didn't, if you didn't like dissolve at the sight of this woman, I think she's 80, who has fought mm-hmm. her way back from a brain aneurysm, singing a song she wrote when she was 24. Oh my God. Tracy Chapman.
What'd you think of Miley Cyrus?
Oh, Miley Queen finally got a Grammy. Like Miley was amazing. She looked amazing. I liked when Miley said, "Don't act like y'all don't know this song." Like she just was not there to be disrespected in any way.
She was great.
Taylor Swift made history. The only artist to win four Grammys, four albums of the year. We have just a snippet of that.
Friend, I would love to tell you that this is the best moment of my life, but I feel this happy when I finish a song or when I crack the code to a bridge that I love or when I'm shotlisting a music video or when I'm rehearsing with my dancers or my band or getting ready to go to Tokyo to play a show. For me, the award is the work. All I want to do is keep being able to do this. I love it so much. It makes me so happy. It makes me unbelievably blown away that it makes some people happy who voted for this award too. All I want to do is keep doing this. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to do what I love so much.
Our queen, Fantasia Barrino, doing Proud Mary. Woo, what a it was a show that was really about music. And I can't tell you the last time I watched. Usually I'm watching the Grammys and I'm like, yawn, can we just get to it? But this was one where it felt more like, you know, the show they do for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, where it's mm-hmm. a show, it's an award show, but it's really like a concert. That's right. What the Grammys felt like this
big
year.
Numbers. Big numbers. You know, you see one award show after another. The one before this was Golden Globes, and it tanked, relatively speaking. There were not as many people as the previous several years. And it's been the same way with the Academy Awards. But the Grammys somehow bested them all because they had a lot of people watching. And, you know, you're just running through the list of performers. That's a pretty wide selection. And one of the great things about that show was it gave something to people who are boomers. It gave something to people who are Gen Xers. There was a little bit of something for everybody, almost like the way Top 40 radio was way back in the day, where, you know, you'd hear one artist like Sinatra being played right after Led Zeppelin. It was just a great, great combination of different ages and genres.
So I have to say, Kev, my husband does not usually watch these award shows with me. Like he wanders off to another room, but of course he's immobile and my captive. So we're watching the Grammys and he was into it because the performances were so great. And then Jay-Z gets up and makes his speech. And that was some riveting television. Let me just say riveting. I mean, Jay-Z was like, some of y'all don't even belong in your category. Like he served it up and we're watching this and Kev goes, does this happen at all of these shows? I was like, no, sir, this is just tonight.
It was pretty good.
And then there was this great line. Jay-Z goes, I'm sorry, when I get nervous, I tell the truth.
I was like,
oh my God.
That is what a night.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Come visit the Bob and Sherry store. Wish you were here. To find great deals down every aisle. Wish you were here. We wish you were here to get the Book of Bob, Cooking with Cats, Bob and Sherry grocery totes, phone cases, shirts, nightshirts, caricature mugs, scones from the Scone Goddess, water bottles, True Weird Stuff merchandise, and more. We wish you were here for the time of a lifetime. The Bob and Sherry Store on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I want to do a salute to people who totally embrace winter. I want to talk about guys who wear shorts 12 months out of the year, even in cold weather places, and people who go away for vacation to the beach in very cold weather places. There's a website that I see that's a travel-based website. And here's the Here's the headline. Why not have a winter weekend on Nantucket Island? A winter weekend on Nantucket. Now, Nantucket Island is about 20 miles off the coast of Massachusetts. All right. It's out there and the winds are howling. And they say a winter weekend on Nantucket is a quiet, beautiful time to stroll the empty beaches, unplug and curl up with a book and enjoy bargain off-season prices. Well, while you're strolling the empty beaches, keep in mind, here's why they're empty. It's freezing cold, and the wind is blowing at 20 miles an hour. Unplugging and curling up with a book, I gotta be honest, I love Nantucket. I love it. But I can curl up with a book pretty much anywhere in my house and not have to travel, not have to do anything. And I don't know that this travel site is helping Nantucket. There's a shot of the boat that you would take out to the island, and it's the stern of the boat with plastic seats, and they're covered with ice and snow. So even getting there is going to be a tough. If if that rings your bell, then have a great time. Now let's get to the guy who is the guy that wears shorts. And I think we may have one of them actually on the show here this morning by the name of Mr. Max, who wears shorts just about every day of the year. But he does not live in upstate New York. Ryan McCormick, who is 45, splits his time between New York and North Carolina. He wears shorts every day and has found that being able to withstand the Arctic chill increases his mental and physical fortitude. He slips into a jacket if he's going to be outside for a long time. But otherwise, no matter what the weather, he wears a t-shirt and shorts. Quote, I use this as a means to condition my body. I'm testing myself and seeing how long I can take it. Personal growth, he believes, is the result of persevering through discomfort. Wow. I test my body by turning down a third glass of wine. That's how I test my body. But we all know that guy, don't we? Wearing
to him. Are you kidding?
Is the sheriff like that? Like it's 38 degrees and he's outside in shorts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You betcha. All year round. Yep. He has long pants. He has big boy pants. But it's got to be a blizzard or an ice storm to get him to put them on. For sure.
I think middle school kids, boys especially, started this thing. I think adults picked up after it. Because I could remember dropping my girls off and seeing, it's like 40 degrees and the boys are going in and they've got shorts on in January. Now, I don't live in upstate New York, but nonetheless, it can't get cold anywhere in the United States with the exception of Miami.
And just for clarity, usually from December to March, I don't wear shorts, but I wear shorts the rest of the time.
Oh, I thought you were a year-round man.
I'm not as hardy as you think. I'm glad you think I am.
Well, it is easier. I remember when one of the former bad managers we had at the old station, I remember when he criticized you for wearing shorts every day and you didn't like that at all.
No. Now, in fact, he did it in front of other management people from the company.
Yeah.
And he did it as a way of mocking me. And I wasn't pleased about it.
Because there was
a thing or two he could have been mocked about. That's for sure.
Boy, that's for sure. Didn't he say something like, well, this is the way radio people dress now, I guess. Wasn't it something like that?
I think it was worse than that, as I recall. So,
really?
You know.
Yeah. Well, yes, it is, as a matter of fact. And what is your point? I mean, the last time I had a checkup, I walked into the doctor's office and the doctor came in. And he was wearing sneakers, blue jeans, some sort of a polo shirt, but he threw the white coat over the whole thing and had a Pittsburgh Pirate hat on. Honest to God, a doctor. I mean, the United States has changed as far as how we look at professionals and their way of dressing. I was saying, a friend of mine was a lawyer. I walked into the law office in the middle of the week to say hello to him, and nobody had a tie on. So, I mean, it's just
nobody it's
a
doesn't.
World.
I mean, that you have to let go. Nobody's doing
totally.
That anymore.
Yeah, totally.
You know, now that Kev has this giant cast on his leg, he couldn't wear his big boy long pants if he wanted to. So it's a good thing we don't have any weddings or funerals to go to right now.
Right.
Because he's going to look extremely casual.
Well,
no
listen, tell
what
him
the occasion is.
Tell him you and he can have a romantic bargain off-season weekend in beautiful Nantucket Island.
Oh,
he
yeah.
can get that little scooter and push it along the boardwalk if they have one there.
I'm with you, Bob. If I'm going to shiver and curl up with a book, I'll do it right here and save a few bucks.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Go to bobandsherry.com to nominate a teacher to win a vacation from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida, plus round-trip airfare and vehicle rental. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Easy Cater? Order food for your work at easycater.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this shit.
This one's going out to everyone who assumes the worst, everyone who's easily offended, everyone who always jumps to the conclusion that someone's doing them dirty. This one's for y'all. Now, you've probably stopped listening already because you're already ticked off that anyone would dare assume that you're a person who's easily offended or always assumes the worst. But here's the dealio. It's in your brain. So for people who consider like, a friend didn't text me back, that's an act of hostility, right? They're mad at me for something, or they're icing me out for something, as opposed to, well, maybe they just meant to reply and haven't, or they got something going on, right? People that are super likely to think there's a hostile reason for whatever is happening have way more of a very unique kind of brain activity in their ventromedial prefrontal cortex. So that part of the brain is responsible for like decision making and regulating your feelings and, ready? This is fascinating, how you perceive yourself. So this part of the brain, it's very high order. And it stays busy all the time. You're taking in everything your senses are giving you, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, all of that. And it integrates that, all of that information coming in from the outside world with all of the things that you believe about the world and people, about yourself. So it helps you manage how you react to social situations, right? Because if you think about it, that's a really complex thing. A stranger chatting to you at a grocery store, that's a pretty complex interaction, right? And your brain is busy, busy, busy. Well, for people that are likely to assume there's always a hostile or negative intent, that part of the brain lights up in ways that it doesn't for anybody else. And so if this is who you are, it's in your brain, right? And if you deal with people like this, and we all do because of a little thing called the internet, if you're dealing with people like this, maybe it'll be good to know and to remember that they literally are wired to assume the worst in every situation. They're just wired to think that they're being disrespected. They're wired to think that you have an agenda. Their brains are wired that way. They can't help it.
Is it an excuse?
So these people get a pass?
Well, let's say somebody's listening and that is who they are. And they say, oh my God, light bulb there. That's me. Is that an excuse, you know, to go through your life, you know, go through your marriage, relationships, perceiving the world that way? Because I think that would be a tough person to live with.
Some people will take it as an excuse. They'll be like, well, this is just who I am and I can't change. But what's interesting is because it has a lot of it has to do with your brain. Remember what I said, your brain takes in all this outside world input, But then it combines it with the stuff you already believe about the world and yourself. So if living like this is exhausting and difficult, and it seems like it would have to be, like, wouldn't you be anxious and bummed out all the time if this was who you are? Always looking for the, like, the next diss, the next insult, the next attack, when people don't mean anything, but that's how you're taking it. God, it would be exhausting. I guess you could take this two ways. You could go, well, that's just who I am. Or you could go, well, I might need to work a little bit harder on the way I think about myself and the world. Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. A lot of people are going to do that. Good luck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in order, I think, to hear it that way, you would have to be a person with some pretty solid self-awareness. You would have to be aware. You would have to be aware that that's how you deal with the world. Mm-hmm. We've worked with people. We've worked with management like this. It's a hellscape. When you have a manager who thinks that every single thing has some villainous agenda. Oh my God, that's the worst.
Let me tell the folks of what we've been through. Just this one instance. So we're having a meeting, and it's the Bob and Sherry crew, right? And it's Max, and Todd was with us at the time, and Sherry and me, and on the phone is Tony. And so we're talking of planning. I think we're doing a trip to meet listeners or something like that. And in walks this insane manager guy, and he takes a look, and he looks around. He goes, well, this is a sweet little meeting about I think I know what.
What
a nutcase.
We were talking about
But you know what? You wouldn't, as difficult as that guy is to deal with, you sure wouldn't want to be him, because you wouldn't want to live in that dark, boarded up, haunted house where everybody is out to diss you. We'll get this posted up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. This is Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
I have never been inside a Juicy Couture store in my life. I've walked by them.
Liar. Why you gotta lie like that? You're wearing your pink velour track pants that say Juicy across the bottom right now. Liar.
All right, you got me. You got me. Liar. But only on Saturday nights, all right? Not right now. Anyway, I want you to explain to me the marketing genius behind this, because I don't get it. Juicy Couture, and I know many towns don't have a Juicy Couture, but if you probably have seen the ads, Juicy Couture's velour tracksuit is back with a Red Robin twist. Red Robin, the restaurant place, has partnered with Juicy Couture to launch the Juicier collection, blending the nostalgia of the early 2000s fashion with the restaurant's gourmet burger heritage. Will you please tell me how that comes together to make any sense at all?
I can. Oh my God, I can. Red Robin is the place that offers you unlimited fries. And the more you eat there, the more you can only wear your stretchy Juicy Couture velour track pants. It's the only thing that fits.
Yeah. Then the juicy hamburgers. I mean, I get that thing. The tracksuit is tomato red, embellished with fake crystals, showcasing the Juicier and Red Robin logos, aimed at celebrating Red Robin's gourmet revival. I didn't know there was such a thing that is going on. Yes. It's $169. I'm just saying, what's next? Ralph Lauren is teaming up with Burger King? Is that where we're going? I still don't get it. Outside of the fact that, you keep eating there, you're going to have something that expands. That to me is... And there's a Red Robin shop. I didn't realize that.
I'll tell you what, though. Taco Bell needs to sit down, because this girl is not wearing a Taco Bell Loco Dorito Taco Thong. Not doing it. Okay?
You're just not.
Not even for Valentine's Day.
I knew you when you were braver than that.
We all
grow
up.
Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Oh, you guys, I learned something super interesting. So I was reading an article about McDonald's play place, you know, the playgrounds. They really don't have them in very many McDonald's anymore. When was the last time? You guys are much more likely to go to a McDonald's than me. When was the last time you saw like a big time McDonald's play place.
They have remodeled so many of them now, and no, I haven't seen the play thing in a long time.
So when I was down in Orlando recently, I didn't even realize this when I went through. I actually accidentally went to the world's largest McDonald's,
wow.
And I think it's three stories.
Yeah.
And they have,
it's,
I think,
legendary.
The whole second story is that play place.
Oh. Was it crowded? People come from around the world to visit that, Doc. Was it crowded? Was it interesting?
It was. And it was really weird because normally if you go to a McDonald's, it's the line is wrapped around for the drive through. But at this one, the drive through is basically empty and the parking lot's packed because everybody's inside.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Don't you love when you're on the road and you just stumble across some like pop culture treasure just by sheer chance? I love that. I love those moments. Well, here's what I learned reading about the McDonald's play places, that it was way back in 1971 that McDonald's is like, all right, we've got the adults. We're good here. Now we have to start winning over kids, because if we get them when they're young, we'll have a lifetime customer. And I think we all know that that's pretty accurate, yep. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that was, they did two things in 1971. They created McDonaldland, which was this fast food sort of play, like world that was populated by Ronald McDonald and Mayor McCheese and the Hamburglar, yep. And the Grimace, right? And by the and they began working on the idea of a menu for kids. It took until the very end of the 1970s for the Happy Meal to show up. But along the way, between inventing Mayor McCheese and working on the Happy Meal, McDonald's decided to test what would happen if we took McDonaldland. Now, we can't have the Grimace at every McDonald's location, but what if we took that idea and we made it real in the stores? So it's the Illinois State Fair in 1972. McDonald's Corporation gets together with a company that makes Hollywood sets for movies. And that company, it's called Setmakers Incorporated. They created a 4,800 square foot space for the Illinois State Fair. There were swings and slides and climbing toys, and all of their favorite McDonaldland characters were in this at the World's Fair. They had an apple pie tree. They had a Filet-O-Fish fountain. They had trash cans that would sing, right? Motion sensor trash cans that would sing. And McDonald's corporate thought, you know, based on what we've seen at the Illinois State Fair, a playground in a McDonald's store would get roughly 3 years worth of use in 10 days. Okay, so they used the Illinois State Fair to test durability and safety and all of that. So think like it was an experiment in real time. How strong do we have to make these slides? How many layers of paint do we have to put on the apple pie tree? And so they figured it out. And once they had all of the kinks worked out, they knew it was absolutely safe and it was absolutely going to be rugged and it was going to last. They opened the first McDonald's Playland in Chula Vista, California. It was twice the size of the one at the Illinois State Fair, which means it was basically 10,000 square feet. And the kids absolutely loved it. They lost their mind. It increased business at that McDonald's in Chula Vista by like 60%+. And then franchisees around the country, they wanted in on the action. So McDonald's created these blueprints for how you could put a playground in. And pretty soon, there were 3,000 play places. Now, at the exact same time this was happening, America went through a nationwide obsession with children's safety. These were the kids on milk carton years, okay? You had abducted missing children on milk cartons. There were the ABC after school specials, all of it. And the McDonald's Playland, which was already thought by parents to be safer than like an average city park or neighborhood park, McDonald's went ahead and leaned on the fear that people had for their children's safety. Most of those play places, they brought them 100% indoors, completely enclosed, which would make it a lot more difficult for a stranger with bad intentions to get in mm-hmm. among the kids. They've replaced anything that was made of wood or metal with rubber and plastic, and they got rid of the swings and the slides that were in the early McDonald's land play places and replaced them with those germy bacteria infested ball pits and the tunnels, God, yeah. the little hamster trails of soft netting. And so that was the glory days of the McDonald's play place. And part of the reason it was so wildly successful is because of the milk carton phenomenon.
Wow.
Isn't that? I read that this article so with I had to like scoop my jaw up off the floor. Just yeah, absolutely cool. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
I know how much we all love a top list, top 10 this, top 10 that. I ran across a thing about narcissism. And before we go any further, if you don't know what a narcissist is, you probably know one or two. They have an unreasonably high self-importance to them. You know, they require constant admiration. They feel that they deserve privileges, that kind of stuff. That's considered a narcissist. All right. Now, the states with the most narcissist, starting at number 10, Rhode Island, number 9, Florida, number 8, Mississippi, number 7, Louisiana, number 6, South Carolina, number 5, Indiana, number 4, Maine, number 3, New Hampshire, number 2, which is a shock a little bit, Iowa. What do you think the number one state is that has the most narcissists?
I think everybody was expecting California, New York, and Texas to be on this list. What the heck is Iowa doing? It's the heartland.
I know.
Well, based on this, it's got to be something like really good and decent and kind, like Nebraska.
No. I don't know how Iowa. I don't know. I would love to know how this happened. But Texas is number one. Texas is number one.
Everything's bigger in Texas. That kind of makes sense.
It's Texas.
Exactly. All right. Now, here are the states with the fewest. Number 10, Connecticut. Number 9, Utah. Number 8, Alaska. Number 7, Colorado. Number 6, Vermont. The top five with the least are number 5 is Oregon, number 4 is Nebraska, number 3 is the District of Columbia.
How did they get this list?
This is something wrong. Number 2 is Wyoming, but number 1, the state with the fewest narcissists, Hawaii.
Well, that makes, you know what? Every time Hawaii's on a list, it just confirms for you that you wish you lived in Hawaii.
Does it not surprise you that Iowa and Nebraska are in the same proximity and they're on such different ends of the scale here?
I just still can't get the District of Columbia. Oh, my God. That should have went off the meter.
Yeah, it should have been number one, not even close number one.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the most narcissistic cities. Number 10, Nashville. Number 9, San Francisco. Number 8, Los Angeles. Number 7, Jacksonville. Number 6, San Antonio. The top 5. Number 5, Philadelphia. Number 4, El Paso. Now that makes 2 cities in Texas. Number 3, number 3 is San Jose, California. Number 2 is Indianapolis. What do you think the most narcissistic city is?
So is this obvious?
I think it's pretty obvious, yeah.
So you've already done Los Angeles.
It can't be D.C. because D.C. didn't show up as a state.
No. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
So
New York?
Yep. Ding, 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 ding. You have a winner. Now, here's what's really weird on this. This is the least narcissistic cities. Number 10 is Milwaukee. Number 9 is Dallas. So in the state that's the most narcissistic,
that's crazy.
Dallas is number 9 in on the least narcissistic. All right. 8 is
even
Boston.
With Jerry Jones, like, doesn't it seem like he would.
He should count for 100 people.
Yeah, like, wouldn't he kind of screw the average just a little bit? This is crazy. Like, who did this? Did I do this math? Who did this
math? I don't know. I don't know. This is not making any sense if you think about it. All right, Boston's number 8. Baltimore's number 7. Las Vegas is number 6.
Really?
Charlotte, North Carolina is number 5.
Of the least narcissistic.
Least narcissistic. Number 4 is Phoenix. Number 3 is Denver. Number 2 is Portland. Number 1, it would be impossible for you to guess because the least narcissistic city in the country is in the most narcissistic state in the country.
Des Moines?
Austin, Texas.
Oh, Austin.
Yeah. So Texas is the most narcissistic, but they've got the number one least narcissistic city. I don't know how they come up with this.
Texas, if my brother were writing a high school paper, he started all of his high school papers exactly the same way and kept waiting for a teacher to catch on. It would have started like this. The state of Texas is a mosaic of contradictions. And in this case, he would be correct.
Would be correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Any place as big as Texas, nothing's going to be 100% true for everybody or every place. Texas is
because you're
going to
find everything. You're going to find everything. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
You know how when you go to a romantic comedy, I don't care what it is or who it stars, there's basically a formula. These two people, they really are meant to be together, but they can't figure it out because a million things get in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
That applies to every single romantic comedy ever.
Pretty much.
Well, BuzzFeed did, my younger daughter and I, we live on BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed did the types of men who inevitably appear in every romantic comedy.
Okay.
Ready? The British man who says terrible things and acts like a total tool, but his accent is so great that you kind of fall in love with him anyway.
That's true.
Russell Brand sort of specializes
in
that.
Totally.
The hot neighbor who never speaks or has his character developed in any way. He just smiles and is mostly shirtless in windows. Does he have a job? How does he pay his rent? Does he have an inner life? Maybe. It's buried deep, deep, deep below those rock hard abs, and who cares anyway?
And he's not in the movie a lot, but when he's in it, it's memorable.
It's memorable.
Yeah.
These are guys who show up in romantic comedies. The guy whose entire personality is that he smokes weed. That's it.
Yeah.
That's his whole character.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The guy who wears cardigans as proof that he's sensitive. The guy who wears glasses to show that he's thoughtful. He even reads books written by women sometimes. The dad who plays golf. The dad who plays golf is the only kind of dad the heroine can trust. He plays golf. That's his thing. He'll probably end up having a heart-to-heart with the troubled male lead at some point on the golf course.
Yeah, that's right on it.
The male doctor, who's also sexy and attractive. He can cure anything, even a broken heart.
Yep.
Which is exactly what he does 30 minutes in when he bumps into the female lead at a shop.
That's exactly right.
The guy who decides to ruin the wedding instead of saying how he felt a week ahead of the event.
Say that one again.
The guy that ruins the wedding instead of just saying how he felt a week ahead of the event. Maybe he's the groom, or maybe he's the groom's friend who's really in love with the bride.
Yeah.
Right? These are types of men who appear in romantic comedies inevitably. Owen Wilson. Not a guy like Owen Wilson, the actual Owen Wilson. The man who's 30 plus years older than the woman, but that's never, ever, ever addressed.
And it's never a problem for anybody.
It's never a problem, and nobody ever says, hey, Judy, your hot doctor boyfriend appears to be as old as your dad. Like, nobody ever points that out.
You know, even in old movies, it was that way. If you see some old black and white romantic comedies sometimes, the guy looks like the banker in Monopoly, And the woman looks like
a teenager,
just out of high school.
Well, how about one of the most famous old Hollywood couples of all time? She was 17.
Lauren Bacall.
And Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
She was 17 years old.
And I think she was 19.
No, she was not. She was 17. Put your lips together and blow in that famous scene.
She was 17, in that scene? I swear she was 19.
And he's
19.
In his 40s,
not
right?
Not that that's much different.
She's in his
he
40s.
He was in his early 40s.
So I would like you to bring Madison in and fix her up with one of the guys in sales who's 40 and single. Because that's what that
My
would be.
My head is swooning.
I know, right?
That's okay. Something.
Men who appear in every romantic comedy.
But you know what? She loved him. And they were a real couple.
For
they really
years
were.
Years and years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she was.
Yeah.
If Karamia, who was not 17, if Karamia came home and said, Mom, I think I've met the one. He's 49. I would just like.
I know.
Run into traffic. All right. The man who cheats. In fact, he doesn't just cheat. He's cheating scum. And he's such egregiously awful cheating scum that it gives the guy who you should love an opportunity to point to him and go, I am not as bad as this guy.
And you know, Bradley Cooper could play that guy, but he could also play the good guy.
He could. He can play both. The hot guy who seemingly doesn't own a shirt because he never has one on.
Matthew McConaughey.
The guy who is either extremely whimsical and peculiar or a serial killer. It could go either way. And in the beginning of the movie and really at the end, you can't tell.
Yeah.
The guy who lives in a giant art studio with bare brick walls.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely.
In Midtown Manhattan, seemingly, and he has no job.
But you know, that guy doesn't get the girl. That guy is the snake in the grass.
That's the guy that she is that she
right.
thinks she wants to
right,
be with.
But he's not the guy. He is untrustworthy.
Here's how much this formula applies. The guy that lives in the spectacular house who is hotter than a hot dog is John Hamm in Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
But who gets the girl? The hot Scottish cop.
Yeah, the cop.
The Scottish cop, who's not as hot as John Hamm. I think he's hotter.
He's nowhere near as hot, no.
I think he's hotter because that's my taste, but in the movie, John Hamm is not only is he the hotness, he's the rich hotness.
John Hamm does not get the girl and the cop does. What's the cop's name again?
Chris. I love him so much. Chris something. Anyway.
He gets the girl because he's a decent guy.
Because he's a decent guy.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's how, do you see how much this falls in line?
Yeah.
So you would be the decent guy.
I want to be the hot guy. The really nice house.
But you're the decent guy.
Actually, what I'd like to be is that dirty artist with that brick wall.
Who doesn't have to work for a living.
Who doesn't have to work for a living.
At least you're not the whimsical guy who could be a serial killer, right?
You know, I almost got that didn't have to work for a living part down.
It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website. The Oddcast. Contest info. BobandSherry.com.
You know, I don't know if anybody knew this or not, but one of the reasons that the NFL has never wanted to do or never allowed the Super Bowl to be in Vegas is because of the gambling. But since now sportsbook gambling is on the internet all the way across the country, now they can have it there, but they still have rules. During the regular season, NFL players are allowed to gamble on almost anything that doesn't involve the NFL, but that is not going to be the case for the Chiefs and the 49ers when they get to Las Vegas. With the NFL's biggest game being played in Sin City this year, the league has decided to get really tough on gambling. The NFL will be complementing a newer, strict policy that will apply only to the Chiefs and the 49ers. The new rule is very simple. If you play for the Chiefs or the 49ers, you're not allowed to gamble while you're in Vegas. You can't play casino games. You can't bet on sports. You can't do anything. The two teams will be staying in separate hotels 15 miles away from the Strip. Although these strict rules will not be in place for the will be in place for the two Super Bowl teams, any player who's not playing in the game and they're on another team, they can go to Las Vegas. They can do whatever they want to do. They just can't bet on the NFL. And they can't go into any sports book places. They got to stay away from that. The normal policy is NFL players can gamble in casinos and bet on sports except for the NFL. But the Super Bowl policy is players participating in the game are not allowed to gamble on anything at all while in Vegas. Any player who gets caught betting on the NFL will face at least a one-year suspension. If the player is betting on his own team, then he will face a two-year suspension. They're really down. They're looking out for this gambling situation. It's tough. It's tough. So none of the Chiefs and none of the 49ers will see the strip.
I'm not worried about my Chiefs because Travis Kelce already took the biggest gamble of his life and won. What else is there to bet on?
That is so true. Looking forward to the game. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.